Just want to say good morning to those that have not had the opportunity to say good morning to. It's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto Him, and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. The Bible tells us that Jesus teaches that He is the light. And we find that He also taught His disciples that they were the light. In Matthew 5 and verse 14. And then we see that in the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 7, the Bible teaches us that John the Revelator teaches us that we should walk in the light as He is in the light. For we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know that beautiful selection that we sing, Send the Light. I love that song. But not only do we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to send the light, we need to take the light to this community. And what I mean by this community is the world, every opportunity that we have in life to enlighten each and every one we meet. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that the Apostle Paul said the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he wasn't ashamed of it. He said, because it is the power unto salvation. And so if every man is going to be saved, he's going to have to come to the gospel in order to be saved. And so we see that when one comes to the gospel makes you a better person. In your home, a better husband, better wife, children. If we're still working, better employees. Because we are enlightened by God's word and we can enlighten others. This subject this morning of one way to heaven, but many ways to hell. I'm using the passage of scripture from 2 Peter. Chapter 2 for this lesson. And what I mean by that is one way to heaven but many ways to hell is that there's only one way to be right. And that's in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the false teachers will teach you that and tell you that there are other ways. And this is what Peter is dealing with in these passages of scripture. And we'll look at this in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, and I read verses 1 through 3 for the scripture reading. Peter says, but there were false prophets also among the people. Even there shall be false teachers among you. He says, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. They say, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, he say, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom way of truth shall be even spoken of. And Peter says in verse 3, he says that, and through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Well, let those scripture this morning serve as our scripture reading this morning. Before that we go any further into this lesson, we always count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. At this time, let us pray. As some of you all know that I've shared with you before, that I was at one time in the Baptist denomination. And while there, I was taught that I was saved before I was baptized. And that is a false doctrine. And I lived like that until I was at the age of 27, until I came in contact with the gospel of Christ. And I found that that is not in the Bible where you are saved before you are baptized. But this was some false teaching. I had been deceived. So I'm saying to you this morning, let me just talk to you just plain this morning. If anyone in here have ever gone through a different denomination, and you were baptized into that denomination, I want you to know that while you were there, you were not in Christ. Because when I came up out of the water, my name never changed. I came up out of the water as a Baptist. Still didn't know anything about the true church until I came in contact with the gospel. And when I obeyed the gospel, my name changed right then as a brother in Christ, a member of the Church of Christ. So I want you to know that in these denominations out there, there is no salvation in those denominations. We remember what John says that over in 1 John, that the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sins. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us. And now, we have to have our sins cleansed. And God does not use a sinner in his plan of salvation. I've read where God used sinners to correct his people. And he used people that were more wicked than Israel to correct them. But when it came to salvation, the saving of a soul, God always used his own people. And so we have to come in contact with the Bible. You remember that scripture I said in book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16? The essential facts of that scripture is the death, the burial, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. This is what we all have to come to. We all have to believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, and he was resurrected. Now, Peter dealt with some of these false teachers, and he tells us that they're going to be in our time as well. Jesus even spoke of this, that these false teachers will come. And so the Bible teaches us that we must be able to prove all things. When I preach the gospel of Christ, I need to be able to prove what I'm preaching. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, prove all things. It says, prove all things. And it says, hold fast to that which is good. So I need to be able to prove what I'm preaching. And whenever we can't find what I'm preaching in the Bible, it becomes vain. And it doesn't do us any good. So we have to prove what we are preaching. And these false teachers, we're going to look at some here, and we want to go back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and we'll pick up a few of these false teachers here in Jeremiah day and time. And I want us to take a look at that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. And I want to look at start with verse 16. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and verse 16. The Bible says, Thus said the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophet that prophesy unto you, they make you vain. And what Jeremiah is saying, that whenever someone is teaching something that we can't find in religion, that we can't find in the Bible, it is vain. Just remember that it's vain. Notice what Jeremiah says. He said, they speak a vision of their own heart. In other words, they're speaking things coming from their own mind, and we can't find it in the Bible. It becomes vain. Notice what he says. He says, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. That's what these false teachers preach and teach. The Bible says in verse 17, says, they say still unto them that despise me, said the Lord have said, yea, shall have peace. Ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And this is some of the teachings of the false teacher, giving false security to the people. Telling people what they want to hear. Things that are soft to the ears. You know, this false sense of security that you can do what you want to do. And you've heard this before, that you once saved, always saved. And there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. That comes from the false teachers. And the Bible tells us that this is what Jeremiah dealt with in his day and time, with these false teachers. Notice what it says. In verse 18, the Bible says, for who have stood in the counsel of the Lord and have perceived and heard his word? It said, who have marked his word and heard it? The Bible says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And this is something that we probably don't think of when these storms come, that this is God working. God works in whirlwinds as well. That's our Father working out there. Nothing moves except it be by the word of God. We see the clouds out here moving. They don't move without the word of God. So we can rest assured when we see the workings of the whirlwinds and the tornadoes and storms, those are the workings of the Lord. That's our Father at work. Notice what the Bible teach here. The Bible says that in verse 20, he says, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed and until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. Now, I want us to notice something else here. In verse 25, the same passage of Scripture, the Bible says that, and I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreams, I have dreams. You know what the false teachers capitalize on? They know that their members do not study their Bibles. And so they come with all of these false teachings, saying that I had a dream and God came to me and said this to me and said that to me. And that's what the people believe of those false teachers. I believe all of us have dreams. I have dreams. And I listen to your dreams. But when it comes to comparing your dreams with the word of God, I'm going to take God's word, not what someone say they had a dream. And that's what these false prophets do. They take advantage of people because they don't study the Bible. The Bible says that in verse 26, it says, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophet that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Verse 27 says, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their father have forgotten my name for Baal. And this is what the false teachers does. They teach things that we can't find in the Bible. And he calls people to forget God in his sacred ways by their false teaching. I want us to look at another passage of scripture here while we're in the book of Jeremiah. I want us to look at Jeremiah chapter 28, and we'll take a look at a few passages of scripture there. The book of Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. And we will start at verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 5. The Bible says, "And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judea, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hanani, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests, and of all the people, saying, Thus speaking the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon." Notice this in verse 3. Say, "Wherein 2 full years will I bring again unto this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon." He says, "And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, with all the captives of Judah that went unto Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now this is Hanani, a prophet. This is what he's saying to the people. Now God had already told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25 that his people would go into captivity and be there for 70 years. Had already told Jeremiah that. Hanani, a prophet, tells the people that in 2 years they will come out of captivity and they will be brought back and all the vessels that were taken from them. Now this is a prophet speaking. I just want to suggest to notice something in these passages of scripture here as we look at this. I want us to look at the same chapter in verse 15. I want us to notice. Well, before we go there, look at verse 6. "Say, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, and the Lord do so." Say, in the same chapter 28 and verse 6, it says, "The Lord performed this word which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all is carried away captives from Babylon into this place." In other words, Jeremiah was said that amen because he was just going along with Hanani. Because he knew that the Lord had already told him that there would be 70 years before his people will come out of captivity. And he said amen. He said, I wish it was so, but the Lord has already told me that it would be 70 years. And I want us to just to notice here in this passage of scripture that we'll look at here in verse 15. It says, "Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hanani the prophet, Hear now, Hanani, the Lord have not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie." You have one prophet saying to another one that you are telling a lie. This is one prophet saying to another one. Because God has already told Jeremiah over in chapter 25 that there will be 70 years. And here Hanani saying that it will be 2 years. So one prophet is calling the other one a liar. These are the false prophets that we're talking about this morning. We can't listen to false teachers and false prophets. Notice what the Bible tells us, that these false prophets, they have their day. In verse 16 of this passage of scripture, the Bible says, "Therefore says the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. So God judged Hananiah for that lie that he told, and he died that same year. So these false prophets, God is going to deal with them. But you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to be aware, and this is a warning to us, as children of God, we have to study our Bibles and make sure. You know, John tells us how to test a false prophet. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." He said, "But try the spirit to see if it's from the Lord." So we have to read our Bibles when someone is talking to us about the scriptures to make sure that this is coming from the book, the Word of God. And as we look at these passages of scripture here, we see that this prophet died. And people say, well, you think that the only people that's going to go to heaven, the one that's in the Church of Christ? I hear that sometimes. Everybody in the Church of Christ is not going to go to heaven. Because you're going to have some people in the Church of Christ that won't do right. We have a brother and sister that were in the church, and they died and went to hell before they repented. Because how do you know that? Ananias and Sapphira, those two men, woman and husband, they died. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They had some land that they sold in order to help the church, to give to the church. And we find this in the book of Acts. They sold this land, and it was theirs to sell. It was their own opinion, thoughts, to give what they wanted to give. But you know what they did? They came before the apostles, and they lied about what they had sold. They came before the Apostle Peter. The Holy Ghost moved in Peter to ask them that question. How much did you sell the land for? And Ananias lied. You know what the Bible says? That God killed him right there on the spot before he repented. And the Bible says that it took about a space of 3 hours before the young men rolled him up and took him out of the city and buried him. And then his wife came in 3 hours later, Sapphira. And Peter asked her that same question. How much did you sell the land for? And she and her husband had already conspired what they were going to say. And she said the same thing that Ananias said. And she also died that same day before she repented. They were in the church, brothers and sisters in the church. This was a visible judgment of God, an example to us. When you provoke a righteous God, and it's an example for us as Christians today of Ananias and Sapphira, how they provoke God. Brothers and sisters and friends, if you're not in the church, you don't stand a chance of going to heaven. You have to be in the Church of Christ in order to go to heaven. And we have to be faithful. We have to live a faithful life. This is a commandment for us. This day, the first day of the week, is for us to come together upon this first day of the week and remember the death and the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a commandment. And the only thing that should keep us away from here is things that are beyond our control, that we can't control. We need to be here, brothers and sisters. This is a commandment. And when we are not here, and if it's beyond our control, if we just deliberately say, well, I'm not going to go to church this morning, then we sin. That's a sin. When we don't come out, when we know that, I didn't know what it was to be in worship service every Lord's Day when I was out in that other denomination. didn't know what it was. But as you study the Word of God, and God tells us that if you love me, keep my commandments, we begin to understand that this day, the first day of the week, we as children of God, we need to be here. Because this is a commandment for us to come. All right, let's go on and look a little further here in these passages of Scripture. I want to go back to the book of 2 Peter again and look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and just look at these passages of Scriptures. Jesus warns the people in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11. Jesus said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. That's what Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 24 in verse 11. According to Peter, false teachers within the church disown and renounce the Lord that brought them. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, according to Peter. Verse 3, the false teachers in these passages of Scripture commercialize the gospel, being expert in greed and getting money from believers. And their chief method of doing this is through feigned words. Using these impressive words and statistics to draw money from people, to commercialize the people of God, to enhance their own lifestyle. That's what the false teachers is all about. To draw money from the people of God to enhance their own lifestyle. Notice what Peter says. He says that, but there in verse 1 of these passages of Scripture, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now they're not just going to come in and say that I'm a false teacher. I'm here. They're going to sneak in. And that's why we have to read our Bibles to make sure what is being taught from this pulpit is coming from the Word of God. And not only do we need to look at those people out in the world, also in the church, the true church. We need to look at what's being taught in the true church. That's our responsibility as Christians. Notice something. The Bible says that denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. He said, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment is now of a long time lingering not, and their damnation slumbereth not. God is going to deal with the false teachers. We don't have to ever worry about when we see people doing wrong on whether God's going to deal with them, because God will. But the false teachers teach people that you can never lose your salvation. I don't want us to forget about the people that was before the flood. Some people say, well, you know, God is so loving. You know, he's not going to destroy people. Every man will be saved. God is just that loving. They forget about the flood. Those people that were before the flood. The Bible says only 8 souls that were saved. They forget about Solomon Gomorrah, when that whole city was destroyed. And the only one that escaped was Lot and his children from that city. People forget about that. And I don't want us to forget about it as Christians. I want all of us to go to heaven. And that's why I'm speaking about this subject this morning, as these false teachers, because we have to, this is a warning back then. This is a warning to us today. And Peter tells us that there will be false teachers among us today. And that's what we need to be aware of. The Bible teaches that there's only one way to be saved, and that is through the gospel. That's one way, the gospel only. The Bible says it is the power of God unto salvation. And there's 3 facts in there: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to believe that Those are the facts of the gospel. And when we believe that, then we will obey what God has taught us to do, is believe his gospel. That's where the good news is in the gospel. I want just to remind us of something else this morning as we look at these passages of scriptures. In the book of Ephesians, the Bible tells us that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, notice what the Bible teaches there. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. There's only one. Only one church. There's only one church. And we look at all these different denominations out here, and they are false teachers in those denominations. It's not the true church. This is the true church. And what I mean by this is the true church, we can find it in the Bible. This church in Longwood. We can find it right here in this Bible. You can look at the teaching. You can look at the worship service. And you can read about that in the Bible. That's how we know it's the true church. All these denominations out here, these people are flocking to. False teachers, teaching people the wrong way. And the Bible says people are flocking to those things because they are being deceived, because they are not reading their Bibles. They are being deceived. But the Bible tells us there's only one church. Now you think about this. One church. You know what Christ says? He says, I am the Savior of the body, which is the church. That's why mankind cannot start a church, because he cannot save himself. Christ said, I am the Savior of the body, which is the church. It's amazing that you hear people say sometime about baptism is that, you know, they say, well, was the person baptized? You know, especially if he's in a different denomination. As if that is significant on whether a person was baptized or not. The Bible says that in Galatians 3 and verse 27, said, for as many as has been baptized into Christ have put on him. Just being baptized, that doesn't do you any good. We have to be baptized into Christ. That's what counts. When you are baptized into Christ. Do you know Apostle Paul was in the Judaism religion when Ananias came to him? He told him, said, why tarriest thou? When Paul was on his knees praying 3 days and three nights in the book of Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. He said, why tarriest thou? He said, arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. You know, that's when God really hears us. It's when after we are baptized, God hears us. God does not hear a sinner when a sinner prays. And I heard sinners tell me, I know God heard my prayer. And I look at the Bible. I don't call people liars. I just look at my Bible and I try to enlighten them on what the Bible teach. In the book of St. John chapter 9 and verse 31, you know what the Bible says? Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a doer of him and worship him, him he heareth. That's who God heareth. God only hears us when we become his child. Now God is good. And that's what I know that a lot of people get confused about whether God hears them or not, because God is so good. God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. We know that, but if you want your prayers answered, you want to make sure that God is listening to you. You have to be a child of God. David says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, he said, God would not hear me. God won't hear us. God doesn't hear a sinner when a sinner prays. Those are some of the things that false teachers teach, brothers and sisters and friends. And they teach that you can be saved in any church. And I'll close with these passages of scripture here. That you can be saved. And a lot of people say, well, why don't you, the people of the Church of Christ, practice and keep the whole Testament? Well, I mean, keep the whole Bible. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So every word of God that we read from the old unto the new is God's word. The Old Testament is for our learning. It was written for our learning. The Holy Spirit penned that. That we as Christians may be able to look back and see what happened to the people back then, that we don't make the same mistakes today. It's for our learning. But this New Testament, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, this New Testament, it makes us able ministers of the New Testament. That's what the New Testament is for. This is where we find life. You can go back to that Old Testament and try to keep it, but you won't find eternal life back there. It's the New Testament where we will find eternal life in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we know that the New Testament is for our life, and that's what we keep, and that's what we study. And but brothers and sisters and friends, people will tell you that you need to keep the Old Testament. I run into people all the time say they're still tithing. Yeah, they're still tithing. And you don't find that in the New Testament. The Bible tells us to give as the Lord has prospered us. There's no tithing. You know what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21? It says, is the law against the promises of God? The Bible says, God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. If the old law could have given life, there would be no need for Jesus Christ to come. You know what the Bible says? That in Galatians 2 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul said, I do not frustrate the gospel of Christ. Don't frustrate it. When we believe that we can be saved under that old law, then we are frustrating the gospel of Christ. Well, we are saying that we already had what Christ died for. So therefore, when Christ died, he died in vain because we already had it. That's what we are saying as we try to go back and keep the old law. So the Bible tells us that if that old law could have given life, then surely righteousness should have been by that old law, but it couldn't keep it. The lesson is yours this morning, and hopefully something was said from this lesson that will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds as we journey through this life. It's just to remember, this is a warning for us as New Testament Christians today, is to be on guard for false prophets and false teachers. Study our Bibles. We come to Christ by first hearing of his word. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And after hearing it, we must believe it. The Bible tells us in the book of St. John chapter 20 and verse 29 and 30. It tells us that truly many signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not mentioned. But these are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing have life through his name. So when we hear the word of God, we must believe it. And after believing it, we must repent. Luke 13 and 3 say, I'll tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we have to hear God's word, believe it. And when we believe it, we have to have a change of heart, a change of mind. We have to change from the way that we have been thinking and change into what God is teaching us. After repentance, we must make the good confession. The book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. The Bible says, if thou would confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, so thou shalt be saved. So with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we must confess that I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must make that good confession before men. And after the good confession, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. We have to comply with the gospel. Not what some teacher is teaching that you can't read about in the Bible, but we must comply. You know, if we were born in England and we want to become a citizen of the United States, we would have to come to the realization that we have to comply with all the naturalization laws of the United States in order for us to become a citizen here. You just can't become a citizen without complying with those laws. You just can't say, well, you know, I'm a citizen. No, you have to comply with the laws of the United States. And so it is with the gospel. Is that we want to become a child of God, we have to comply with the gospel. We have to do what the gospel say do. And the gospel says that we're not saved until we are baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 is when those Jews realized they had crucified the Son of God. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, he said, let every one of you repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. He didn't say you need to get your religion. He says repent, something that we have to do, and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was after they were baptized that they became Christians. While we stand this morning and sing the chosen selection, and we're subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.